The purpose on Sunday morning is to remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So with that in mind, you may be wondering why I asked to have 2 Chronicles read. Why this story? Well, I think our lesson comes from a little mention of a man named Zechariah in verses 20 and 21. And it's, I think, a good way for us to understand better the betrayal and death of our Lord Jesus. It's typified here in this story from Israel's history. I think by looking at the details of Zechariah's death, we can be able to see a little more clearly and appreciate a little more dearly the sacrifice that Christ made for us. So let's take a look at this story and think of it in terms of the relationship to Jesus. First, the context. I got to back up a couple of chapters to chapter 22 to kind of get a sense of the context. Evil Jehu has just killed King Ahaziah. So 2 Chronicles 22 at verse 10, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. All right, so evil King Jehu has come and destroyed, King Ahaziah. And what would you think the mother of King Ahaziah, how would you think he would respond to someone, how you think she would respond to someone killing her son? It's not what you expect. Look at verse 10. Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. What kind of woman is this? This is the daughter. You gotta give us a little history of who Athaliah is. Athaliah is the daughter of Omri. Omri, probably one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. So when she realizes that her son, Ahaziah, king of Judah, is dead, she goes and she kills all of her grandchildren. She hunts them down and kills every one of the grandchildren so that she can be the only royal heir left and she can be queen. Look at verse 11. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So we have a little mystery, a little intrigue going on here. And Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. So the news goes out that this evil person has killed the king, and as if that's not bad enough, all of a sudden the mother of the king starts killing off all the rest of the royal seed so that she can be the queen, the uncontested queen. And yet someone goes and steals away one of the little babies, one of the little grandchildren, and hides them with their nurse so that they don't get killed. So Jehoshabeath is the daughter of Ahab, the brother of Ahaziah. She's married to Jehoiada, the priest. And they take young Joash and they hide him from Athaliah. So this is Joash's aunt, the wife of the priest, hiding him in the temple, the only place where he'd be safe. Because you know Athaliah doesn't go to church. She doesn't go in the temple. She's not going to have any reason to go there. So Jehoiada and Jehoshabeath, they bring up Joash as if he was one of their own children. Probably how they got away with it, right? Just kind of dressing him the same as all the rest of the kids, including him in all the other family functions, just hiding him in plain sight as one of their children. You got to remember, he's just a baby. We read in 24, verse 1, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Look at 22, verse 12. He was with them, hid in the house of God, 6 years. So this was an infant that they stole away and hid for 6 years. And Athaliah reigns over the land during those 6 years. So her plan worked. Evil Queen Athaliah is reigning over the land 6 years, unaware that there's a young baby hidden away, a royal seed waiting to take its rightful place on the throne. So turn the chapter to chapter 23, and in 23, verse 1, you read about the unveiling. In the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself. You're going to go up against a woman that killed every one of her own grandchildren so she could get this throne. I think it's an understatement to say Jehoiada strengthened himself. But he felt that the time was now right, the boy was now old enough, so he summons all of his courage, and he calls all the faithful of Judah together. They have a secret little coup. Verse 3, all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And by king, they mean this 7-year-old boy, Joash. So they come into the temple, all the faithful, and he tells them, look, this is the rightful heir. We've hidden him away. We've raised him. Now he's 7, ready to take his place as king. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. So Jehoiada is faithful to the true king, and he gets all the others to agree to help him establish Joash back onto his father's throne. Look at verse 7 of chapter 23. The Levites shall compass the king round about. We got to surround him. We got to perform arrange a protective security force around him. Every man with his weapon in his hand. And whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. We're not messing around. Anyone gets near this child, kill him. But be with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. If Athaliah finds out, this child is dead. So they plan this coup in secret with the protection of the temple. And then they position themselves around the king, ready to protect him. And look at verse 10 of 23. And he set all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple, by the king round about. They surround him, standing there with their swords. And they position the king, where? Between the altar and the temple. And verse 11, then they brought out the king's son, and they put upon him the crown, and they gave him the testimony, and they made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king! Long live the king! They shout. And they shouted over and over. Now look at verse 13 or 12. When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, king? What king? I killed them all. I'm the queen. She came to the people in the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering into the temple, and the princes and the trumpets by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets and the singers, because we're getting rid of the wicked queen. Yay, we've got a king. And the singers with instruments of music and such as taught to sing praise. And Athaliah just rents her clothes and she tears them off and she screams, treason! It's like a Disney movie, you know, with Cruella. And you could just vision her standing there like, treason! Treason! All because of Jehoiada, you know, faithful Jehoiada, who had hidden away that young priest in the safety of the temple. Who'd raised that little boy as if he was one of his own children. Who had established him on his throne with the support of all the people. And he'd taken this opportunity to clean things up, to get rid of false worship, to establish true worship in the land of Israel once again, setting Joash off on a good footing for his reign. That's an amazing story. That's written by a master, that story. And the whole point is to kill Athaliah, to destroy the wickedness, and set a righteous king in place. Put him in a good foundation, be really ready to serve. And then we come to chapter 24, the chapter we read today. And one of the first things that leaps out to you is what Gordon referred to in verse 2. Joash loses sight of what's right. Think about that. Think about the people that risk their lives for this child, to put him in this position, that trained him and brought him up as their own, to give him a good foundation. And Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. It didn't say Jehoiada did that was right in the sight of the Lord all of his days, does it? It says Jehoiada, or Joash, did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada. Only as long as Jehoiada was around did Joash do what was good. Jump down to verse 15. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. It's Jehoiada who's the good character in this story. It's Jehoiada that's driving the righteousness. And when Jehoiada dies in verse 16, he's buried in the tombs of the kings. But did you notice where Joash is buried when he dies in verse 25? He's not buried in the tombs of the kings. Jehoiada is right and faithful and righteous and true, and he's buried with honor, and Joash is not. So as long as Jehoiada was with him, Joash makes good choices. But when Jehoiada passes away, look what happens in verse 17. And after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah, and they made obeisance to the king, and then the king hearkened unto them. The mark of a weak man, person who follows whatever advice he gets, and doesn't have a mind of his own, doesn't have an opinion. He doesn't have a true inner moral core that's going to do what's right regardless of what others say. So the young men come sucking up to him, and he does what they tell him to do. Verse 18, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and they served the groves and the idols. They left the true and faithful worship to God and went back to the pagan and the false worship. No sooner does Jehoiada die and the whole country just falls apart. Notice how long God prolongs Jehoiada's life. Lives to 130. Because God cared about the people. He knew this was going to happen. And didn't want things to go to pot. But as soon as Jehoiada dies, they fall back into the wicked ways that they had under Queen Athaliah. And whenever that happens, verse 18, wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. So God is displeased with them. And in verse 19, he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. So God, I got to send a message. I got to send people to talk to them, to try to get them to realize that they've gone astray, that they're not following me truly. He sends prophets, and they ignore them. They don't listen to them. And then look at verse 20. We're introduced to Zechariah. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. Who's Zechariah? The son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he also hath forsaken you. So God sends Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Remind you of a parable, you know? He sends messengers. He says, well, maybe I'll send my son. They'll listen to him. So they send righteous Jehoiada's son, virtually a brother to Joash. Right? Joash grew up in the same house as Zechariah. They were brothers. They grew up. They were taught by the same father. They were raised by the same mother. And you'd think they'd have similar beliefs. Surely he'll listen to the brother. What do they do in verse 21? They conspired against him and they stoned him at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the law of the Lord. Joash is turned so poorly now. He's so cruel, he's so wicked that he kills his own stepbrother. He kills the brother of the man that spared his life and brought him up. And if you ask me, I think he actually killed him between the altar and the temple, where he himself was crowned many years before. Why do I say that? I'll refer you to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 35, Jesus says, "That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar." If you look at it, the son of Berechiah was added by the translators. I think Jesus was referring to this Zedekiah, the son of Jehoiada. And it's just a perfect conclusion of that story. How Joash gets saved by Jehoiada and an anointed king between the altar and the temple. And several years later, kills his own brother, righteous Zechariah, between the altar and the temple. It's pretty obvious how this story reminds us of the story we're here to remember today. It's pretty obvious about how this is an example to us of Jesus and of his sacrifice on our behalf. Joash is like Israel. Raised by God as a son, God told them, "You are my children." But they only did good when they were guided by good priests. And they quickly fall to the bad advice of others. Israel, like Joash, doesn't heed the call of the prophets, and they even slay the son when he is sent to them. And Zechariah, like Christ, is the true son, slain by his brothers for calling them to repentance and telling them to stop their evil ways. And look what Zechariah says when he dies in verse 22. "Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but he slew his son. And when Zechariah died, he said, 'The Lord look upon it and require it.'" What does Jesus say when he dies? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a wonderful lesson, and I think we can get an insight a bit into the feelings in Zechariah's heart as he was murdered in the temple by his own wicked brother. We get so much of the backstory in the case of Zechariah that we can begin to imagine how he felt. It's such a great visualization that we can put ourselves there and we can imagine what it's like to be dragged out into the temple, out into the court, and stoned and killed. You can imagine the sadness, the rejection, the feeling of defeat, and very, very sad for these people and how bad they've become. And that helps us to understand a little better about what happened to our Lord. Helps us in a little bit clearer the sacrifice that we're here to remember this morning. But unlike Zechariah, the blood of this righteous man changes everything. After they kill Zechariah, they go on and they continue to live in their wickedness, and we know that eventually they're destroyed and they're wiped out entirely. But when Jesus dies, everything changes. It changes for the Jews and it changes for us. through the death of this man, we're saved. And for that, we're truly thankful.